Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2017. It is Thursday, August the 17th. I am, of course, Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com, and on the other end of the line is Alex Cazora, back from Latrobe. He's a little later tonight. He stopped off and spent that some of his signing bonus money I gave him to take his girlfriend out for dinner there. Alex, happy Thursday, and how was that 18-ounce ribeye?
We ate like kings, Dave. Thank you very much.
I hear you. All right. Where is the time gone, or has the time gone too slow? One day left in training camp now. The Thursday practice obviously completed. Where do we start? Well, I guess we should start by telling people who don't already know it that Juju Smith-Schuster was diagnosed with a bone bruise. So good news there. It looked like it was trending that way as of yesterday. Mike Tomlin after practice, said it didn't sound that serious. It was announced later in the night that Juju was going to have an MRI Thursday morning. Sounds like he had that. Most definitely, he was out on the practice field on Thursday, albeit he didn't practice. But that alone was probably a good sign there. So I'm not sure whether or not he's going to play Sunday at this point. I'd probably be kind of surprised, but Mike Tomlin left the door open for him, said we'll see what he can do tomorrow. So I'm sure Tomlin will provide us somewhat of an update. I don't know. He'll probably just tell us all the healthy players will play and all the unhealthy ones won't. But we should be able to narrow it down pretty good nonetheless. A little bit of a scare, at least on my end, not being there, seeing what happened. B.J. Finney left practice on a cart on Thursday. The worst things ran through my mind. But after practice, Mike Tomlin told us he only was dehydrated. So good news there. Bumps and bruises normally associated with practice, I think, took course today. Doesn't sound like anything serious. However, the same bunch of players still missing practice.
Yep, I'll go through the list. It's a shorter list, so that's good. And some of these guys getting rest, some of the more veteran types. Mike Mitchell still out with that leg or ankle, whatever he's got going on. Keon Adams with the shoulder. Golson, the hammy. DeCastro, Foster getting a day off with rest. Futz back-to-back for Foster. Shazier with the hamstring. Still ails him. William Gay with a vet's day off. And Smith-Schuster. Partial, we're pouncy. Landry and Ayers. Ayers is just... every day, it's just I think he's gonna practice in full or at least individual, and he doesn't get there, so I don't know what's up with that. Pouncey, very light work early, did some of the individual O-line on-air stuff. Jones took snaps under center in run sessions. Has not thrown the ball in run sessions, but he does throw the ball to receivers in one-on-ones and on-air.
After practice was over, Mike Tomlin was asked about Ryan Shazier and if there's a timetable associated with his possible return. Tomlin said there is none, so that's not a good sign there. He was also asked about Marquise Pouncey, and he says, I'm not getting into the details. It's day-to-day. He'll be back out shortly, so we'll see about that. Let me ask you something. Cameron Sutton appear to be getting closer?
Yeah, I should have had him in the partial guys too. He takes incremental steps. I saw him, the receivers and DBs were doing some stock blocks today, and he did take part of that a little bit and working on some of his jams and against wide receiver releases, but I have not seen him in team. I think you can safely count him out for the Falcons game and hope to get him back. And I think you will get him back for the third game, the tune-up game.
And Keon Adams, I mean, is he even like, you know, attempting to go through stretch lines or anything associated with that, or is he just coming out there and standing around right now?
No stretch line for him. He'll do some jogging and stuff on the side with the other injured guys. I saw the injured players a lot with the lower body injuries, Mitchell and Golson, throwing the medicine ball around. I don't think Adams was doing it, but that kind of makes sense as Adams has a upper body shoulder injury. So he's doing some, I'll call it light conditioning on the side, but, you know, you and I have talked about him, that, you know, for all we know, he could end up on injured reserve. He does not look particularly close to coming back.
And James Conner kind of came up a little gimpy at one point and ended up not finishing practice from what you saw. Are you concerned about him now? Do you think this is going to prevent him from playing Sunday?
I think there's a chance he misses tomorrow, and I feel like if he misses tomorrow, then, yeah, he might not go against the Falcons. You know, it doesn't seem like a major thing, but he kind of tweaked it early in the first run session. He stuck, you know, he tried to stick it out a little bit and work through the special team session and maybe a little bit in the beginning of the next team. But in 7-on-7s, the last, I think, two team sessions, he did not go. So we'll find out tomorrow what his status is, and I guess we'll go from there.
Boy, we got T.J. Watt healthy. We have Dobbs healthy. And what else?
Brian Allen. Give it credit to Brian Allen. He's not really missed, like, any reps. Even Watt's been occasionally held out. Now Watt gets more reps, but Allen's been there every day.
Well, good for him. Definitely good for him. All right. You know, as you mentioned, Ramon Foster, day off. David DeCastro, day off. Marquise Pouncey, sideline. A little bit of shuffling going on that offensive line. That shuffling got even more shuffled when B.J. Finney got carted to the house.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at my notes of what it was. Villanueva, who wore David DeCastro's 66 jersey today, much too small for Villanueva.
Looked like DeCastro got put on the rack.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Before the Finney injury, it was Filer at left guard, Finney at center, Hubbard at right guard, and Gilbert at right tackle. After Finney left, Hubbard moved over to center, and Kevon Milton kicked the first team right guard. So let's call it thin along the offensive line depth today.
Boy, Chris Hubbard really, Mike Tomlin sang the praises of Chris Hubbard after practice today. That's for sure. He's obviously not going anywhere. You thought Gerald Hawkins had a little bit better day, I think.
Yeah, I thought better in O-line, D-line, some of those one-on-ones. Now, granted, he wasn't facing top competition. He faced, like, Roy Filon once, and I forget who the other guy was. I didn't get the best look at him in team drills, but nothing noticeably bad. So, you know, that's good for him, and that's kind of the way I think it'll go. This was a guy that missed almost all last year, you know, had to shake off some of that rust early, and I think the more reps he gets, the more himself he'll feel. And it's just about getting reps for him. He's had so much, there's been so many factors in him not getting reps, whether that's injury in his LSU career. Even his last year at LSU, he played in most of the games, but he had to dog out an ankle injury. He was a junior coming out, obviously the shoulder injury last year. This is a guy that just needs reps and time, and then I think he'll get a lot better. So really encouraged and hopeful to see how these next couple weeks go for Gerald Hawkins.
Anything stick out with the running back group? I think Connor had a easy, what was it, seven shots or not seven? Think it was seven shots, touchdown right up the middle. Kind of recap the highlights of that group today.
The running back or the seven shots?
Running back, and then go ahead and cover seven shots too. Make my job easier.
Running back is just no room today. That second team O-line that had to come in, even when Finney was in there, but especially when he went out, just got destroyed by the first team D-line, which is, you know, what you would expect. But I did see Tomlin talk about that he said, you know, some of the backups, the Miltons and the Filers, while they seemed to do well from an assignment standpoint, he said the intensity wasn't there. And when you're facing Cam Hayward, Javon Hargrave, Stephon Tuitt, it's not enough to be assignment sound. You have to bring the intensity because you know, day in, day out, rep in, rep out, Hayward and those guys will bring that intensity. So the running backs really had no room today. A couple of drops, Nixon, Watson both had one, so real minor note there. Seven shots, the defense won 5-2. It was a little dispute because on the one play, Jesse James seemed like he had it. He was wide open. He caught the ball, came down with it. I put my head down to start writing it down. I heard the crowd like groan, but I didn't know what happened. I was reading Steelers.com's account of it. Apparently Cockrell came down at the very end and knocked the ball out. So the defense actually won 5-2 instead of 4-3. So I know there's a lot of Ross Cockrell haters out there.
No, they're not. Stop it. Stop it. There are not Ross Cockrell haters out there.
Okay.
Boy, Lord have mercy. There are some Ross Cockrell haters out there.
Yeah, he's had his up and down in camp, but he faces tough matchups. You know, he's physically outmatch when you're facing Bryant and Hunter and guys like that. And he's had good plays too. And he had a really nice, you know, end zone breakup in the Giants game. No one talks about that. Was a great job by him, one on one to keep the Giants out of the end zone.
Hey, you know, what are you know, you're going up against Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown? What do you think's going to happen on, or what would you hope, you know, what would happen? You know, if he starts winning some of these battles, people are going to say, oh, Martavis, oh, Antonio, you know, it's a give and take here. And obviously you're dealing with what we think is probably one of the best duos in the NFL this year. Good luck with that, you know. Mm-hmm. And look, people, I'm still called called a bunch of things, but
most of them not suitable for their airways. Right,
yeah,
now.
People on this podcast are used to that by now. But you know, a Cockrell apologist to a Cockrell hater. You know, I don't think people, you know, if they listen to the show and kind of read what I write. I mean, look, I think Cockrell is what he is, and you and I had a discussion not long ago. I'm not so sure he makes it through the rest of the season as a starter, and I really don't not sure he'll be back next year. But with that said, I mean, you know, he deserves to start this year until you're given reason otherwise, I think. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what category that puts me in. I mean, we've seen the guy play some decent ball over the years. Is he going to the Pro Bowl this year? No, he's not going to the Pro Bowl. But you know, can he hold his own on the outside there, especially if the Steelers, you know, get some help with that four-man pass rush this year? Absolutely. He's an extremely smart guy. You know, probably not the most physical guy that you'd like, and obviously needs to do a better job becoming a playmaker and getting his, you know, trust in his eyes and all like that. But, I mean, let's face it here. I mean, it's not the end of the world. I don't think that he's back there. Now, as I've said several times, I think the Steelers really need to dare people to beat them deep, you know, over the top this year. We'll see how much of that ultimately happens, where he could probably potentially be a liability there. But, I mean, let's not go, you know, I got one tweet today, Cockrell can't cover nobody, you know. That's just not true. So, I mean, let's let this thing play out. Sure, he might ultimately, I mean, they drafted, you know, they drafted Sutton for a reason here. They drafted Allen for a reason. They're eventually going to go in a different direction, or at least they hope. But in the meantime, this is Cockrell's job right now. And, I mean, is there any, you know, we heard Tunch Yoakum talk earlier in training camp about how Sensabaugh might challenge Cockrell for the starting job. You don't get a sense of that at all by watching practice, though, do you?
No, I mean, Sensabaugh has never even taken first team reps. Well, he has when Burns was hurt, but he's never taken those reps over, you know, Cockrell before. And I think Sensabaugh's had a good camp. And yes, if Cockrell were to really struggle and have a bad stretch, you could see a change. But I have more confidence in Cockrell than that. And I'll say this. I think Artie Burns is the best corner on his team. I think Burns has already quickly surpassed Cockrell. And Cockrell was the best last year, but I think Burns has surpassed him.
And he damn sure better.
Yeah, right. No, that's good news. You should be happy about that. It's not an indictment against Cockrell. It's praise of Artie Burns.
Absolutely. Okay, wide receiver. Two dogs, one bone. Three dogs, one bone. Four dogs, two bones. How many bones, how many dogs you want to talk about today?
Dave, we could open a pet shop at this rate. My goodness. No, I thought Justin Hunter, Sammy Coates both had nice days. Hunter made a really nice combative catch on a nine ball down the right side against Sensabaugh. Sensabaugh, who does a really nice job playing the pocket, having strong hands, poking the ball out, could not. Hunter came down with a catch as he went to the ground. Sammy Coates caught one of the plays of the day from Josh Dobson, a corner route over Greg Ducre. Ducre kind of bested Coates a little bit yesterday, and Tomlin got on Coates for it. Coach did a nice job. The pass was money. So you're seeing those guys rise to the challenge, which has me really excited. And that's part of Tomlin's MO. And what makes Tomlin a good coach is that he'll motivate these guys and get these, you know, like he said yesterday, apply a little pressure, and these guys end up rising, you know, cream rises to the top. So it'll be a really fun battle to watch. I was more excited about Hunter, though, because we've seen Hunter look good on air and adjust the poorly thrown passes and leap up high over smaller DBs for catches before. That's all kind of common sense when you know his physical resume. But making this some of those tough, combative catches where it's truly 50-50 in the corner, it's a chance to make a play on the football and still come down with it, I thought was one of his, honestly, one of the best plays he's made all of camp. And there's been some nice ones, but I thought just, you know, for what that showed trait-wise, I thought that was one of his best plays.
From what you remember about the last time you saw Martavis Bryant to what you're seeing the last, you know, this week, you know, what's the thing that sticks out other than damn?
Well, that's probably the first, second, third thing I think of. It's hard to remember back exactly, you know, because it's been a little while. But he definitely looks bigger, and you know, he's that acceleration of the first day or two, especially the first day. And Brian admitted to this. He was kind of winded. He wasn't his best. It was a relatively nondescript day, but he's really turned on the Jets, I think, lately. Ability to track the football down the field, win those 50-50 balls. He definitely looks better, bigger, better. He's in great shape, and I can't wait to watch him against Atlanta. That's like maybe the number one thing I'm going to look for.
Probably hard to talk about any other tight end group right now, right?
Yeah, it's kind of same old, same old. Jesse James, again, that red zone play. You know, he's open in the end zone. He's falling down with the football. There's really no one around him. He just has to finish the play. And Cockrell apparently knocked it out. So combative catches. You know, David Johnson has good hands. He can make tough catches. He's not, pretty much a non-athlete, but I'll give him this. He has a good catch radius. He has good hands. He makes some tough catches over the middle. I want to see Jesse James, in that regard, emulate what David Johnson does a little bit better.
All right, defensive line and or linebackers, however you – outside linebackers, however you want to run them.
Yeah, not much in the outside linebackers today. Don't have a whole lot going on there. I thought LT Walton had a decent day along the defensive line. That's probably maybe the big thing, getting some A-gap pressure. The first-team defensive line just dominated the second-team offensive line in those run sessions. They definitely won the day. That's kind of it. Their quarterbacks, you want to jump to quarterbacks?
Yeah, and it sounded like Dobbs had a pretty decent day today.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed with Dobbs. He had probably the two throws of the day probably came from Josh Dobbs. The corner route to Sammy Coates I mentioned earlier, which was a dime. I mean, you know, it was a good catch by Coates, but it hit him right in stride. And then maybe even more impressive, though less spectacular looking and for a smaller gain, but Dobbs did a play action boot to his left, and I think it was a little bit of pressure. His shoulders weren't completely square. He had to get rid of the football. He was throwing off his back foot, and he hit AB, who admittedly was pretty – was wide open, really, but still hit AB perfectly on like a 15-yard comeback route. So just that arm strength. I think overall, Dobbs' ability to throw from different platforms, different arm angles, and throwing on the move, I think it's been impressive. And especially when you go to your left, because obviously he's a right-handed quarterback, it's that much tougher. So you saw it in game against the Giants. I've seen it throughout camp. He looks as comfortable can be throwing the football on the move off of different platforms, and that's a testament to his arm strength as well.
I think we should see a step forward. I mean, I am expecting a step forward against the Falcons. You're playing at home, second preseason game. You're going to have some nice weapons out there. If he can dial in that accuracy a little bit, especially on those short passes, where he had them, several high passes in that game against the Giants there. But personally, I'm expecting a better game. I'm expecting us to be able to go and say, look, this was a noticeable step forward for him. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, absolutely. The expectation should be relatively high for Dobbs. Yeah, you want to see him come in, have a better start, command the offense, and then, finish strong. So, yeah, I mean, I expect and I hope that he does have a much better start.
Depth charts mean nothing, right, Tyler?
Yes.
Tyler Matakavich is your backup Buck and Mike linebacker.
Yes, and Tomlin was even asked that today, and I think kind of bluntly said, you watched him play out there. He can do both. And he said, Vince Williams was capable of doing both as the backup last year. Yes, Matakavich will be the first man off the bench, whether that's coming in for Vince Williams or Ryan Shazier.
All right. Anybody deeper down there between Kelce and Galambos? One of them catch your eye more than the other?
Overall, or just today? Or
today and overall,
Yeah, today, neither really today. I think both have shown, good traits overall. I like, Kelce, I think, is a better athlete, maybe a little better pass rusher. But I like his tackling technique, too, that near-shoulder, near-leg principle, ability to drive through the football. I think he showed that on display really well on at least two tackles that come to mind against the Giants game, including the one he actually got hurt on. But the technique and the form, I think, is there. So, that spot, I think, is up for grabs in the practice squad, and that might not be decided until, after the fourth game.
And you think Bud Dupree's going to play this week?
Yeah, he was in team again today, unless something crazy happens tomorrow and he sits out. He should be in there, and that's honestly the number one thing I'm going to look for is Bud Dupree, what he can show in his first game action.
So, in other words, we should, outside of Keon Adams and James Harrison, I mean, we should have all the outside linebackers going, right?
Yeah, much different than last game with three of them for an entire game. That was pretty much insanity.
All right, defensive backs. Hey, Alex, is Mike Hilton a lock yet?
every day. He started today with William Gay out. Quiet day for on the Hilton front. Don't have a whole lot there, but quiet day can be okay for a cornerback. Nothing really huge, you know, good or bad for Mike Hilton. Greg Ducrey's impressed. You know, he's been, once he's gotten back into team drills, because he missed like a week of that. You know, he had a couple of breakups yesterday against Sammy Coates. He's been running second team right corner. He's got practice squad eligibility. I think he's got a good chance to land there. And then Cockle with the nice breakup on Jesse James, so he deserves a little bit of positive press as well.
Sensabaugh, I mean, just is Sensabaugh just a guy? Do you like Sensabaugh better on tape when he was in the slot in Tennessee?
No, I think he's done a good job on the outside. I think he's a guy that, you know, can play in the slot if you have to. You can put him wherever. He's just kind of the Band-Aid that you can, you know, throw in wherever you have to whenever injuries strike. I think he's going to be a good depth piece. I think he has the scheme down already. He's playing, you know, his play speed solid. Again, his ability to contest and play catch points and have strong hands to finish the play is impressive. He has a good want-to against the run, and I think his tackling's maybe better than what I saw, you know, before in places like Tennessee and the Rams. So I think it was a really, you know, shrewd signing. It's not going to be the world changer, and if he has to start for an extended period of time, that might cause some problems, but I think it's a really good depth signing to bring in a guy like Cody Sensible.
Okay, anything stick out special teams on the return lines or anything like that?
No, nothing crazy. Same guys returning punts. Bryant gets some work. Why does Bryant return punts in that line? Is he ever going to do that in a game? Is that an emergency thing?
All I know is other previous times it didn't look pretty. And yeah. What was it, preseason, I think, a couple years ago, whatnot, it didn't look pretty. So no, absolutely no reason to do that. So in other words, it's going to be Antonio Brown and maybe Eli Rogers. But I think Eli needs to prove a little bit more during the preseason if he's going to return punts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stuff's all got to be done in stadiums. You can't simulate really much of the return game at all in a training camp practice setting.
All right, top plays of the day.
The Coates catch, the Dobbs throw to AB, like I said, just some of the Medikevich, Artie Burns had, I think, back-to-back tackles for a loss, just dominating that run session. I think those were the highlights. Sammy Coates, nice one-handed grab on air, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but still a nice catch. And Boswell, I think, hit all his field goals today, so tip of the hat to Chris Boswell.
All right, give me who's wearing the L today?
I'm going to give this to a group, the second team, or really first team offensive line, but kind of second team because it was mostly second teamers in there. They got destroyed in that run session. That's about as bad as it's been all of camp, maybe all of last camp as well. So the Kevon Biltons, the Matt Filers, the BJ Finneys of the world, Chris Hubbard as well, Hayward, Tuitt, and Hargrave had their lunch today.
Okay, before we get out of here, we want to let everybody know that, of course, tomorrow will be the last special edition of the Terrible Podcast for Training Camp 2017. And, you know, I'll have Alex quickly, you know, go over any highlights from practice, but we want to use most of the show to answer the listener questions. So if you have a question, I want, you know, for Alex to answer, and if there's anything that I think I can jump in, I will. I'm obviously not at practice, so most of these are going to be geared toward Alex, I'm sure. But send us an email, you know, put, you know, your question for Alex or something in the subject title to theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you want to use Twitter, you'll tweet it at Steelers Depot or at Terrible Podcast or at Alex_Kozora and use the hashtag MechAlex, MCALEX, MechAlex, okay? So that way it'll be easy. We hope we get as many as we can off Twitter because they're a lot easier to kind of follow and run down. But we want to try to take as many questions as we can from listeners tomorrow. So, you know, preferably send them to us on Twitter. But if you're not on Twitter or don't use InstaFace or any of that, send us a good old-fashioned email at theterriblepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll try to read as many of them as we can to close out the show there. Alex, good job as always. Keep your body caught up on those electrolytes out there. Tomorrow's the last day of 2017. Doing a great job. Hopefully the weather holds off and all. And look forward to talking to you tomorrow night. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast.